A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, King Herod laid hands upon some members of the church to harm them. He had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword. And when he saw that this was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. It was the feast of unleavened bread. He had him taken into custody and put in prison under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. He intended to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter thus was being kept in prison, but prayer by the church was fervently being made to God on his behalf. On the very night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter, secured by double chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while outside the door, guards kept watch on the prison. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, "Get up quickly." The chains fell from his wrist. The angel said to him, "Put on your belt and your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Put on your cloak and follow me." So he followed him out, not realizing that what was happening through the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first guard, then the second, and came to the iron gate leading out to the city, which opened for them by itself. They emerged and made their way down an alley, and suddenly the angel left him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Rescue those who fear him. The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise of him is always in my mouth. In the Lord my soul shall make its boast. The humble shall hear and be glad. The angel of the Lord glorify the Lord with me. Together let us praise his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. From all my terrors, he set me free. The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. Look toward him and be radiant. Let your faces not be abashed. This lowly one called the Lord heard and rescued him from all his distress. The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. The angel of the Lord is encamped around those who fear him to rescue them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed the man who seeks refuge in him. The angel of the Lord will rescue those who
a reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. I, Paul, am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. The Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia. 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 You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am, that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. A very good morning, everyone. Happy to be with you here at St. Peter's in this beautiful marble church here. It's very significant because we are celebrating the feast day of one of the saints, St. Peter. And one wonders when people were imagining building this church years ago whether they were thinking of also today's gospel. So we're rooted in God's word. Also, there's a reference to John the Baptist in the reading, and reference to our neighbor on McKinley Avenue. So this is a great, great feast day in the history of the church. Historians tell us that it goes back to at least the year 329 AD in the city of Rome. There was a Spanish pilgrim who wrote a journal, a travel journal, and he describes in the year 329 of going to Rome on this day at the Basilica of St. Peter's, and then being led by the Holy Father in a procession to another basilica, St. Paul, outside the walls. So this is a feast day that goes back 1,700 years. It's a very solemn and important feast day in the history of the church. As we celebrate this feast day, we are reminded of the importance of the Holy Father. And when Pope Francis died a little over 2 months ago now, the eyes of the whole world were on Rome and the selection process for a new Holy Father. Everyone was speculating which cardinal would be chosen to be the successor of the shoes of the fisherman, St. Peter. Along with that came a lot of speculation and opinions about what the church needed in a new leader. Many people in the media said that the new pope needs to be someone who was passionate about the environment. Others said that we needed a pope who would bring the church into the modern world. Usually that meant making the church more like the world rather than vice versa. And there were many people who expressed their opinion about what type of personality and values the next successor of St. Peter should have. When Pope Leo XIV came on the balcony that day on May the 8th, when he was elected to address the crowds at St. Peter's, he said this, and I quote, "Peace be with you. Dearest brothers and sisters, this is the first greeting of the risen Christ, the Good Shepherd, who has given his life for God's flock. I, too, would like that this greeting of peace enters your heart, reaching your families and all people, wherever they are, to all peoples, to all the earth. Peace be with you." With these words, Pope Leo expressed beautifully what his mission is as the successor of St. Peter in the shoes of the fisherman. It is not to push a certain agenda. It is not to advocate for one side or another. Rather, it is to preach the astonishing good news of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. It is Christ, the Prince of Peace, the one who gives true and lasting peace. Any other message the Holy Father brings to our world stems from this central truth confessed by Peter. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, is Lord. This mission of the Holy Father comes directly from Jesus. In this morning's gospel, it is Simon who speaks out boldly and clearly
When the Lord asks the people, "Who do you say that I am?" "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," asserts Simon. It is then that Jesus changes his name to Peter, the rock, and proclaims that he would build his church on that rock. "You are Peter, Simon, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it." Even amidst Peter's boisterous profession, he doubted. But Christ saved and forgave him and chose the power of grace to transform this man in his position as the leader of the church. Notice here that the church is described by our Lord as being on the offensive, not the defensive. It is the church being commissioned to bust forth through the gates of hell and not vice versa. It is interesting to note that our Lord and the disciples, through the disciples, goes on to make this promise to Peter and us, that the powers of death and hell would not be able to defeat the church that he is building on the rock of St. Peter. The followers of Jesus have faced opposition and persecution. The world's most prominent empires have tried to silence the preaching of the gospel, but none of them have succeeded, and none of them can succeed. Why? Because the church is not something built by human beings, but rather the church is a reality that Christ himself established and continues to build. And at this present moment in history, Pope Leo XIV has been called to lead us in the mission of proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There is always a temptation in our lives to make the church something less than she truly is. Many people would like to reduce us to a charitable organization that goes around doing good for the needy. That is certainly part of our mission, but it doesn't tell the whole story. There are others who would like to see the church become a spokesperson for all kinds of different political agendas, both on the right and the left. While it is important to speak on issues of peace and justice, Christ is calling us to something even more. And what is that something more? It is to preach Jesus Christ risen from the dead, to preach the love of God who so loved us that he did not spare his own son. And it is to live out that truth with joy by loving others and building up our parish community in this world. Anything else we do must be the result of this central truth. When we lose sight of that, when we start to see ourselves simply as a charitable institution or as, in quotes, the morality police, then we become less effective witnesses to the love of God in this world and the truth of the gospel. Pope Benedict, the predecessor of Pope Leo, one time underscored the importance of this basic truth of God's love when he stated in his encyclical Deus est Caritas, that is, God is love, as he was commenting on this line from the letter of St. John. "We have come to believe in God's love," says John. In these words, says the Holy Father, the Christian expresses the fundamental decision of his life. Being a Christian, says Benedict, is not just the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but rather it comes from the encounter with an event, a person who gives life a new horizon and forges within us a decisive direction and commitment. The Holy Father goes on to say that since God first loved us, love is not just not mere sterile command, but it is the response of a gift, the gift of love which God gives and draws us near to himself and to others. This is indeed our mission, the followers of Christ, my brothers and sisters, to bring Christ's love and truth to a broken world, to bring his light in darkness. Whenever that is our focus, we are standing on rock, on firm ground. And whenever we lose that focus, we lose our way and fall. So on this day, as we commemorate these two great men, Peter and Paul, saints of the church, who gave their lives to preach this gospel of the truth of a resurrected Christ, let us also pray for the successor of Peter, our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, that God will give him the strength to lead us after the example of Christ, the Good Shepherd and the head of the church. And let us pray that we too will have hearts full of love for God and full of love to serve one another. In these uncertain times, may you and I put new faith and confidence in that promise given by our Lord to Simon Peter when he said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it."